Good evening. We are very glad that you're here. And we have several that have been sick, very sick, that are here. And I know you're grateful to God, and we are grateful to God for answering so many prayers, so many times. My brothers and sisters in Christ, it may be you, may be me. We have great trials, especially in the health, and we are very thankful that the Lord blesses us. This evening, we are going to talk about the subject of walking with God. I suppose every neighborhood, perhaps out in the country, people enjoy walking. I notice in our neighborhood, you have individuals, and they'll have their little dog or a big dog, and they'll have a little group that will walk. Sometimes it's a husband and a wife, or maybe a wife and a daughter, but people get out and they walk. I read recently someone that had taught on the subject of the Enoch, and he said it's not uncommon for people that associate with certain groups that they would walk with them, that would be their companions. And was mentioned in the academic world. I could kind of testify to that, not because of myself being a professor or anything, but it is true that a lot of the teachers and professors in these schools, they have friendships, and they sort of walk with those individuals. Sometimes individuals in the political realm, they walk with their fellow politicians. How's that? Fellow politicians. That doesn't have to be a dirty word in my judgment. I know of a few politicians that have cleaned up some of the cities, have taken all the smut and the pornography and things out of some of the cities, and I know them by name, so it doesn't have to be a bad word. But the point is, it's not unusual for individuals to be in a certain group, maybe financially, maybe in other ways. But the most important thing in life, as we've recently been studying it, is to walk with God. When the Bible uses the expression to walk with God, it means that you walk in harmony with God. It means that you walk in harmony with the will of God. It means that you love God, that you honor God, that you worship God. In the fifth chapter of Genesis, we have a genealogy from Adam and on all the way down to Noah. Now, it doesn't list all of the children of Adam and Eve. He had other sons and daughters, but it lists what I would refer to and understand as the righteous seed through Seth. You remember that Cain killed Abel. Abel was righteous. Cain was not. Cain was full of hate, just like so many in the world today. And God gave Eve another seed, Seth. And when you follow the age groups of those individuals, it's very interesting, in my judgment, how long they lived, isn't it? And you read about it, and Adam lived 930 years, and he died. Seth, 912 years. And he died. Enos, 905 years, and he died. Cainan, 910 years, and he died. Mahalaleel, that's a good one you don't hear very often, 895 years, and he died. You come down to the sixth generation, Jared, the second oldest man in the Bible, he lived 962 years, and he died. And then you come down to the seventh generation from Adam, which tells me that the genealogy is very accurate, because the New Testament confirms that Enoch was the seventh from Adam, as you read about it in the book of Jude. And you come down, and after Jared, you come to this man by the name of Enoch. And Enoch lived 365 years, but he didn't die. Now that's a year for every day of the year. That's roughly how many days are in a year? 365. He lived a year for every day, but he didn't die. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now Enoch's son was Methuselah, and he was the oldest man in the Bible, and he lived 969 years old. And then his son Lamech lived 777 years. He was the father of Noah. And then Noah lived 950 years, all the days of his life. But it doesn't tell us in Genesis 5 when he died, but it tells us in chapter 9 and verse 29, the last verse in the ninth chapter. And he lived 950 years, and he died. When you think about that, the father of Enoch was the second oldest man in the Bible, 962 years, Jared. The son of Enoch was the oldest man in the Bible, Methuselah, lived 969 years, but Enoch outlived them both. Enoch outlived them both because he didn't die. He didn't die. He was translated that he should not see death. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I don't have any doubt that we can walk with God today. As a matter of fact, before we end the lesson, we'll mention several things that we walk in that are pleasing to God, that are involved in walking with God. But in Amos 3 and verse 3, it says, Can two walk together except they be agreed? In other words, you should be in agreement. And Enoch was in agreement with God, and he is not the only man that is specifically says that he walked with God. As a matter of fact, both of them are found in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, the book of beginnings. In Genesis 6 and verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Now listen, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So we have two individuals in the Bible specifically that it says they walk with God. Could we walk with God today? Yes. Abraham in the Bible three times is said to be the friend of God. I would affirm that we could be a friend of God. Jesus said we could. So we know that we can walk with God. We might, and I don't have any doubt, we're not going to be as great as Enoch was. I can't foresee any of them as great as Noah was. But remember, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's righteous people in the Old Testament, they weren't sinless any more than we are sinless. Every one of them, all of those that had faith in God, are going to need the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, I want to notice the first two words, by faith. By faith. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. So he didn't die. He was translated. And it says specifically, I think we would have understood it if it said he was translated, but he said that he should not see death and was not found. That tells me that they looked for him. I don't know whether they were present when he translated. That would be something, wouldn't it? We're not told. But he was missing. And they looked for him. They couldn't find him. And it says, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? Those first two words I mentioned, by faith. That's how he pleased God. Two verses later in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 7, we have this second one that walked with God mentioned. It says, by faith, there are the same two words. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, now listen, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Why did he prepare the ark? By faith. God told him to do it. We don't read about it, but my judgment is, and I don't personally have any doubt about it, that he was somewhat of a laughing stock, building that great boat on the dry land over there in the area in which he lived. I can't imagine what that must have been like, but he just kept the building. And finally, he and his wife, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, eight individuals by exactly, entered into that ark. They entered in the ark because they had faith in God and what he said. And it says in Hebrews 11, by the which he condemned the world. Why was the world condemned? Because here's a man that God loved. Here's a man that was just before God. Here's a man that walked with God. And he condemned the world in the sense that he had faith in God. They could have had faith. Everybody here can have enough faith to go to heaven. That's always been the case, if you want to. And became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. If you're going to be declared righteous, it'll be because you have faith in God, and especially faith in His Son. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that Jesus is our righteousness. We look to Jesus because of the merits of His life. That doesn't mean that that's all there is to righteousness. That means that that's how we're justified by God's grace and mercy. But the Bible also teaches that Noah and others like him, Enoch, they were righteous because they did what God said. That's what it means to live a righteous life. It means you do what's right. And what's right is God's will. So it's clear from the scriptures that we have given that when you walk with God, it would include, number one, walking by faith. You can't walk with God without faith in Him. Number two, God is pleased when we walk by that faith. In Hebrews 11 and 6, that is verse, that if you're following this, and I know it'd be hard to keep all these in your mind, but chapter verse 5 of Hebrews 11 was Enoch. Two verses later, you're talking about Noah in verse 7. You know what the verse in between says? It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you don't diligently seek God, you don't have faith. If you have faith and you want to go to heaven, you'll have to diligently seek God. I have a fear. I'm included in that because Noah was warned of God, and Noah had a fear of God. I have a fear not only of myself, but especially for so many in the church that seem to be, I don't know, complacent, as if they can have somehow walk with God and do nothing in the service of God, do nothing to obey God, just kind of assemble and go home and assemble and go home. We all know that God wants us to do more than that, diligently. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So, I've never seen God, but I believe in God. Don't you? I've never seen the angels, but I believe in angels. I've never seen the devil. I don't want to see him and his angels, but I know that they exist. I know there's a heaven, I know there's a hell, and I know that from the Bible. I know how to worship God from the Bible. The Bible tells me that. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you're not reading the Bible, you should be ashamed. Whether you're a member of the church or not, every person should be reading the Word of God. Now, Noah was just. No one can walk with God who is not just. The word just has reference to our dealings with our fellow man. We can't be cheats, liars with our fellow man, not to be a just person. So you cannot walk with God and be dishonest. You have to be just. Noah obeyed the commandments of God. No one can walk with God who does not obey God. It is true that we will all come short. I don't have any doubt on many times. But we talked about it this morning, that you walk in the light, take one day at a time, stay with God, and don't give up. In Genesis 6 and verse 8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The word grace means he found favor. When God looked down and he saw this righteous man and the good life that he lived, he was a preacher of righteousness. as we read in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, God was pleased with this man. And because he did obey God, he walked according to his commandments. That's how he did it. Genesis 6 and 22. After we have the dimensions of the ark and all of, he told him, build it out of gopher wood. He gave the dimensions, 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits. And he gives him, he tells him, how to do it, and inside and out, how he was to conduct the ark and how he was to build it. And the Bible says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. I wonder if that really means a lot. Does it? We have people here in this city and throughout the world and in our country, and they worship God any way they want. They don't believe in the commandments of God. They may say that they do, but they're not following the commandments of God. We can't add to the worship. We cannot take away from the worship and be right with God. Moses said, Deuteronomy 4 and 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. Neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Now just think about it. If I can add to God's word, I'm not teaching God's word. If I can take away from God's word, I'm not teaching God's word. I have to stay with the Bible to be right with God. When I have a Bible study, I try, to establish that up front. If you do not establish, look, you have to believe in God, you have to believe this is His Word, and you have to have a desire to know, and then when you know it, to obey it. If you don't have that desire, no use in having a Bible study. Not much use in having a Bible study. Noah walked in the commandments of God. Genesis 7 and 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. How was he righteous? He did what God said, the very best of his ability, I have no doubt. Did he fail at times? We read about him later on, he got drunk. Now, I don't know all the details of that. I heard a good preacher say one time, maybe he didn't fully understand the power of that. I don't know, but it's in the Bible. It shows that we all fail. In Genesis chapter 7, verses 5 and 6, a second time it says, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. 600 years old. And remember, he died at 950. So he had another 350 years to live after the flood came. In 1 John 3 and 7, I mentioned about righteousness by faith and how that we're saved by God's grace and by the merits of the blood of Christ. But the Bible still teaches that we have to do His will. In 1 John 3 and 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So when you say he that doeth righteousness is righteous, that doesn't mean we're saved by our works. That means that God expects us to do His will, to do His commandments, to do what is right. What are you going to leave here tonight and go home and say, I can live any way I want, I can do what I want, and I'm still walking with God? It doesn't work that way. In 1 John 3 and verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Here's the difference right here. You got the children of God and you got the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not a God. If you're not doing God's will, you're not a God. If you haven't been doing it, you better get doing it. Because when the Lord comes back, it's going to be too late. Or if you die, it's going to be too late. Either way. So he said, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And that's sometimes a problem in the church. I do not hesitate to tell people in a Bible study, if you become a member of the Lord's church, sometimes there are people that do not do the will of God. Yes, you will find from time to time hypocrites. I told one in a Bible study recently, I had somebody tell me upon one occasion, Now, talking about the beer joints, what I call them, I've always called them beer joints. And when I was a little boy, my father drank a lot, and I can't tell you how many I was in, okay? I had beer joints. He said, "You'd be surprised who's down here at the Rocking Horse." What he was talking about is some member of the church. And I said, "Well, why don't you tell me who it is, and we'll take care of it." "No, he's not going to squeal on who's down at the Rocking Horse, down at the beer joint." So if you know a hypocrite, then you tell the elders. They'll handle it. They'll handle it. They're good men. They're honest men. They'll handle it. They'll look into it. Sometimes I know of a particular hypocrite, but if I don't have the evidence, I can't do anything about it. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything must be established. Unless I can prove it, I just have to let the Lord reveal it someday. That's what happens. There's a verse in the Bible we recently talked about in a sermon on the way to heaven. I thought this fit in a beautiful way with our lesson, Walking with God. And that's from the prophet Micah. I think I slipped up on the verse the other day, but you learn it. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. "He has showed thee, O man, what is good." I've been working on that to get it in my memory. I really like that God has showed us what is good. Don't you like that word, good? I ask people, "How you doing?" And you know, I understand how you're taught in English. We often say, "I'm well." I want to say, "I'm not asking you about your health. I just, how you doing?" I like it when they say good. Good. God is good. It's my understanding that the Anglo-Saxon word for God was the word good. So he said, "What is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee?" Now we're talking about walking with God, and here's what he says: "And to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God." If you're not just like Noah was, and you can be certain Enoch was, you're not going to walk with God. You have to be honest. You can't cheat. I knew a man who was an elder in a small congregation on the other side of Tennessee, a good way from here. I would go up there and preach from time to time. And he told me upon one occasion that before he became a Christian, that he had cheated the income tax people, and he knew how much it was. He had cheated them $20,000. Now listen to this. When he became a member of the church, he sent them $20,000 and paid that to have a good conscience. You cannot always restore something like that, that's for certain, but you've got to admire. This is the same man that worked in a General Motors plant. When I got there to this place, I had to drive a fair distance, and I got there to that place to preach. I knew every week that he had worked all night, but he didn't go home and rest until after the services. And he did that all the time. I'm just saying, you cannot help but admire people that are just, people that love mercy, and this one, walk humbly with thy God. We only have a few moments, so I want to go through, I will apologize, but go through somewhat rapidly over some of these verses. Maybe you can remember, might want to write some down. Verses that deal how we're supposed to walk. In Romans 8, 1 and 2, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." You talk about a comforting verse. If you are in Christ, you're not condemned. You're forgiven. You walk in the light, the blood cleanses you. He says, "No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Now listen, "who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's capitalized. I believe it is, should be capitalized. It means that you don't walk after the flesh, but you walk after the Holy Spirit, after the teachings of the Spirit. If you're not being led by the Spirit in that way, you're not living the right life. The next verse says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." I understand that's the gospel. The gospel frees us. Through obedience to the gospel, the blood and the sufferings of Christ, he paid the price for our salvation. We have been freed from the law of sin and death. I understand that means you sin, you die. And I'm not talking about physically. We're going to die physically whether we sin or not. Little children die that don't sin. We're talking about the second death, being lost, separated from God for all eternity. Romans 13 and 13, let us walk honestly, as in the day. In other words, it is very often wickedness associated at night, is it not? Yes, it is. Many more deeds are done in darkness than in the light. We had a good brother in Mississippi, a black brother. He's currently preaching the gospel. And he would tell me, and he knew all about it because he used to be in that group. He said, there's a whole different group of people that come out at midnight. He said, that's when they come out. He said, they'll be sleeping and doing other things, but midnight they come out there. And he knew all about it because he used to live that way. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering. That's a real detailed word. Actually, in the Greek language, it has the word bed in it, and what it means is basically fornicators, chambering. It does include homosexuality as well. Chambering and wantonness. This word wantonness, I don't know how often we use it. I don't think I've heard it very much. It means that you have desires, and these are words that are connected with sex, that you have desires and it's unlimited, it's unbridled. In other words, just there's no limit to your lust. You will do anything in a lustful, and everything for lust of the flesh. That's what we were just talking about. You cannot walk after the flesh and please God. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, we quoted earlier, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk because God has told us and warned us. And God has said He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In Galatians 5 and 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you can, if you're going to walk with God, you've got to walk in the Spirit. You have to be led of the Spirit. That means you listen to what the Spirit has said. That's what we have in the pages of God's Word. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Our time is almost gone. I do want to mention two others. Another one after this. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now listen, unto good works. And that's shortly before that. He said, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God. He turns right around in verse 10, and he says that we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Unto is a word always looking forward, always forward in front of us. Good works, which God hath before ordained that, now listen, we should walk in them. I don't know what you think about, but this came to my mind. I like flowers. And I've seen sometimes overseas, like over in Holland, you've seen that. Germany, France, England, and the United States as well. You see these beautiful gardens, right? And I say, wouldn't that be wonderful to walk through those gardens and see that? They take your breath away. And he says that we are to be walking in good works, walking in them. Not just an every now and then type thing. I said I was going to mention one other one. I have a list here. This is the last one we're going to talk about. Ephesians 5 and 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How often do we say, you know, walk circumspectly? What does that mean? Well, it means very accurately, very carefully. It means you do something in a precise way. I know I've told you this, but my father was a metal pattern maker for the Ford Motor Company. And he told me, I have his work chest at the house. I don't have his tools, but I have his chest that he had at work. And he told me that much of the time his tolerances were within 6 thousandths of an inch. That is so precise that sometimes people become pattern makers, lose their minds. Can you imagine making something, the hair? He taught me how to measure a hair with a micrometer. You can't squeeze it too much, but it's about 0.02 of an inch. Can you imagine building something of tolerance? That's what you call accuracy. Now, we're not going to be perfect, but he's saying, you know, you need to be careful. You don't need to be sloppy as a Christian. And I would be willing to say that this one, not as fools, but as wise, is sort of like Proverbs chapter 4 and 26, I would say, ponder the path of thy feet. We need to ponder the path of our feet, ponder what we say. It's all great challenges, I will admit. But to walk circumspectly is to walk carefully, accurately. And sometimes it is even used in the sense of perfectly, but we're not sinlessly perfect. I hope these things will help us to walk with God. I hope we plant the seed in some minds. And some of these areas, I would say we all at times fail, in my judgment. But that's when you need to try to do a little better. Try to do a little better. Try to get closer to God. All the time, knowing that I am going to fail and have failed sometimes in the flesh, I have a Savior. I'm standing on His righteousness and His blood and His suffering. With all my failures and all your failures, it should always be in our minds, we're not going to quit. Regardless of how difficult life might be, regardless of any failings, don't quit. Follow the Lord. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Jesus said, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Do you believe what the Savior of the world said? I hope so. If you're an erring child of grace, child of God, and you've gone astray, Acts 8 and 22, you need to repent and pray. Simon the sorcerer was told that by Peter. Peter told him he was in the bonds of iniquity. He said he wanted Peter. He asked Peter to pray for him because Peter said, repent and pray. If you need the prayers of the church in any way, let us know as we stand and as we sing.